Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to Nerd Party News, the show on the Nerd Party where we talk about the news. I'm Mike.
I'm Lance.
And today we are going to be talking about the Oscars.
Yep.
The Oscars were last night. That's why this episode is late. Sorry.
It's not late. It's on time.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how quickly I can get it edited. It might still be late. But yeah.
Fair enough.
The Oscars were just sort of like the, the dessert on the entertainment weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Which began with the season finale of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yes.
Yeah. Which I'm assuming you watched.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
So what did you think?
I loved it.
Yeah.
And I have so many thoughts about it, and I'm like eagerly anticipating the various podcasts that I listen to personally that are talking about this, their take on it, one of which being the Ringerverse podcast. And shout out to one of the hosts of that show, Van Lathan, who is an Oscar winner as of today.
Oh, really?
Because he was on the production team for the movie that won the best live short.
Oh yeah, what was it, like Two People Far Apart or something like that, or
Two Distant Strangers?
Oh, there you go. I knew it was something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. You know, lots of interesting Oscar winners this year.
Yes, for sure.
So yeah, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Oh yeah, no, I absolutely loved it. And when the show was first announced, like what it was going to be, I was like, all right, cool. And then we got WandaVision first, and it was this whole thing that kind of captures, captured the world. Everybody's making their theories and everybody's, tuning in every week. It's this whole like phenomenon, right? And, it's so creative because they're going through the years of TV and all this other stuff. And then we get Falcon and Winter Soldier, and it's not that at all. It's not like this, like, creative, whimsical, like, off the wall, balls to the wall type of deal as far as the visuals and stuff are concerned, and some of the creativity behind it, like WandaVision was. But what it does have, and what it did do, was it really went there with the content, right? And the things and the meat that was available for us on the bone of that show. Like, they really went there in all sorts of things. Like, they talked about, they talked about race. They talked about how we treat our veterans. They talked about the complexities of being Captain America, what that actually means in not only their world, but in this world, the military industrial complex. Like, all these things they tackled in a satisfying enough way that was consistent throughout the show that I had no idea or thought that Disney would ever do. Like, I had no idea that Disney would ever sign off on something that what we got. Like, I had no idea. Like, I was like, there's no way they're going to do that. There's this meme that I saw about this show that I thought was pretty funny. And it's like Malcolm Spellman. It's like, hey Disney, could I have $150 million to make a show about Black Captain America and a recovering terrorist sleeper agent? And Disney's like, okay, but don't make it too political. And then Malcolm Spellman's like, all right, cool. And then the picture is Marvel Studios presents institutional racism and the way we treat our veterans is coming to Disney Plus. And it's like, well, yeah, that's basically what we're talking about here. And I had no idea that Disney was going to sign off on that, but they did. Like, again, kudos to them for giving us this, because it tackles a whole lot of real things, and they still were able to be, the Marvel Cinematic Universe in it, and they still like were able to branch out from that and they keep expanding. Like, it's like the Big Bang. Like, it's ever expanding, right? We thought it was going to stop, but it's ever expanding, and that's what they're doing, with the show. And again, so the shows are two for two, and now, like, I'm looking forward to Loki moving forward.
Yeah, me too. I mean, certainly I was less excited about this than I was about WandaVision, and also
I was too
Loki. Because it did seem more standard. And, then they kind of like put another spin on it where it's like with the trailers and everything, they made it look like it was just like this buddy team up movie, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, okay, well that looks like fun. And then yep. it starts and it's not that. And you're like, well, where's the buddy team uh-huh. up stuff? You know,
where's my buddy cop show?
Yeah. But you know, like you're saying, what we got was obviously a lot more, I don't know, meaty, like you're saying, you know, yeah. than that stuff, which is certainly great, you know? And, I guess I was also to some extent surprised that they went for it like they did, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it felt kind of like conspicuously absent from the MCU in a way too.
Okay.
Like, you know, these things have been going on for over 10 years mm-hmm. and they never really have dealt with this stuff, which
never.
You feel like they would need to at some point, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. But and this, you know, the stuff that they're dealing with, right? Mostly in particular, like, you know, race in this country, like as usual, and this show is no exception. Of course, like it takes them a while to get there. Right. Yeah. And like to your point is like, you know, like they could have addressed this earlier. They definitely could have. But, you know, to their credit, they did when they did. And yeah. and honestly, I think this is the, you know, this is the perfect time to address some of the things that they were addressing in there just because of the current state of the world and the current state of this country. Yeah. I mean, within the same week of the finale airing, we had a like people were literally on pins and needles awaiting a verdict. Right. Yeah. And so, and then like, you know, by Friday we have, you know, Sam Wilson as Captain America, right? Yep. And, you know, and that, and the other thing, part about that is like, you know, we've talked also on this show several times about the whole, you know, like with DC and the, you know, the potential for, you know, a black Superman character, whether it be, Val Zod or Calvin Ellis or, you know, whatever they decide, right? And, you know, like, again, I have to drag DC again because Marvel beat them to it, right? With yeah. Sam Wilson being Captain America. You listen to his final speech. It's like, yeah, this is what I wanted, like, to have, you know, Superman say in, you know, any of the, you know, DCEU movies. But instead we get him, you know, being mopey and saying that there's that no one stays good in this world. And yet you have Sam Wilson in this episode wearing the Stars and Stripes, wearing, you know, like something that should look absolutely corny. But like he is so earnest and he's so, and he makes you believe that like when he says that, like, you know, like my only power is that I have the ability to think that we can do better. And it's like, well, yeah, this is what we want our heroes to say. We don't want them in this, you know, in this, you know, this dirge to, you know, to gloominess, like that's not their purpose. And so again, they delivered on that front. And it's just like, man, this is what we've been asking for.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. You know, I mean, one of the things that I kept on thinking about was how, like, before this whole thing started, you were like, well, I don't like the title. It should be called Captain America and Bucky. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, obviously he becomes Captain America in this, but I mean, one of the sort of like the nicest touches of this thing, you know, yeah. is when you get to the end and they change the title to yeah. Captain America and the Winter Soldier, mm-hmm. which is such a, I mean, it's so classy and like the way that it was done yeah. and everything, you know, like going yeah. into this episode, it's the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, coming out, it's Captain America and Winter Soldier.
Oh, yeah. And to be quite honest, like I would have lost it if they would have ended that with Captain America and Bucky, and I was just like, I would have yeah. completely lost my mind because they could have, because, you know, Bucky's journey, like he, you know, he, I think he's finally, like, you know, he hasn't redeemed himself, but he is making amends, and he is more comfortable in his own skin at yeah. this point. So they could have made that change, but like I think also he's comfortable in the fact that, like, yeah, he is the Winter Soldier, he's owning it, right? So that there's that aspect of it, but
there's that, but also I mean there's a whole thing in there where they're like, you know, this doesn't control me anymore. Like,
exactly. Essentially,
they could have said, like, I'm not the Winter Soldier anymore, you know?
Exactly, which would have been a perfect time to be, like, yeah. Bucky. Yeah. And, again, that's what I would have lost my mind. Mm-hmm. I definitely did get choked up, you know, in the Isaiah Bradley scenes. Yeah. All of them have been, A+ excellent. The fact that they have Isaiah Bradley in here and Eli alone was a gold star for them. But what they did with it, that last scene that they have with them, I was like, that's just so that's it right there. That is it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it worked really well. They did a good job with it.
Mm-hmm.
So good that later that afternoon,
yep,
they announced that Malcolm Spellman,
mm-hmm,
the showrunner for Captain America and the Winter Soldier, yep, is writing Captain America 4.
Hell yeah.
Which, I mean, they didn't come out and say it, but it's obviously
going to
be starring Anthony Mackie and everything like that. Yeah. It's perfect extension. I wonder what this means, if there's going to be a second season of the show or not. I mean, they said there would be. They were like, yeah, we've got an idea for it, but we're not sure about WandaVision. But, I mean, is Captain America 4 that idea? I mean, you got to think it is to some extent,
yeah,
right?
I would think. You would think so. I mean, because they did all the, because with the show, they did all the groundwork and all the legwork to introduce the character, make you, and really hammer, heavy-handedly let you know that this is the direction going forward. Either get on or get off. So now the movie could just focus on being the movie. It doesn't have to necessarily tackle some of the things they did in the show. Yeah. They can expand upon it more, but they don't have. It's not going to be the primary focus, I don't think. Right. So, you know, and it, like again, like it's it was. I think it's a this is a good thing.
Yeah,
it's a good move on their part.
I mean, it's interesting how, like, they set up so much stuff, obviously, like, you know, with Madam Hydra and U.S. Mm-hmm. agents and everything like that. And yet
Sharon.
Yeah, Sharon. Yeah. And yet we don't know whether or not there's going to be a season two, because the MCU is so big that it could literally, these things could show up anywhere.
Anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
This is cool.
But I'm excited. They haven't, I guess, officially announced it, right? I mean, this is someone's publicist leaking something, right?
Yeah.
But obviously, it's for real. So
mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see where it fits, what phase, because there's obviously a lot of Marvel movies in the works right now.
Oh, yeah. This is, I mean, it's not going in the back burner, but this will probably, what, kick off phase 5?
Something like that, right?
I'm probably assuming.
Probably like 2023 at the earliest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would be my guess.
Yeah.
I mean, we've still got a Blade movie. We do. You know.
And there's no information on that.
Yeah. We know the writer, but that's
And it. We know Mahershala. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which they had before they had
exactly
any idea. Right. But yeah. So, exciting times, you know. And then
mm-hmm.
Loki is in June, right?
Yeah.
And then Black Widow in July.
Yeah.
And then I guess this
Eternals.
Is like, yeah, well, Eternals, but before that, in September, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Which I can't even remember. Did we talk about that trailer?
Oh, we did not.
So what did you think about the trailer then? The
trailer was dope as hell. Like, like, I mean, I know who Shang-Chi is, right? I know he's an Avenger. I know very base things about him. And I could not be more excited about about a film starring a character I don't know all that much about, because that trailer won me over. It's like, this is awesome. It looks like an old school, kung fu movie that I grew up on, like, yeah, you know, thrown into the middle of the MCU. It's like, yeah, hell yeah, let's go.
Yeah,
it's already better than Mortal Kombat. I'll tell you that right now.
I haven't seen Mortal Kombat yet, but I'll get around to it. yeah, you know, it's interesting because, like, aside from the Marvel logo, like, there's absolutely, well, and I guess the fact that they talk about the Ten Rings, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's absolutely no indication that this is like a Marvel movie. You don't see like Iron Man pop up or anything like that. And, you know, I mean, it could very easily be its own standalone thing.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how it all ties in, like, in the actual, you know, movie. But, yeah, I agree with you. Like, the action and everything looked cool. I was, like, really impressed with, like, the photography and the camera movement and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was, and again, I mean, this is something that we were just kind of talking about off mic, but, like, the director, like, Daniel Dustin Cretton or whatever the guy's name is. I'm sorry, I forget. But like, he's made like you look at his filmography, he made Short Term 12. Did you see that?
No.
It's like this teeny tiny little movie with like Brie Larson and Lakeith Stanfield in like his first role, I think. And then the other movie that he just made recently was Just Mercy, you know, which is, you know, this like hardcore drama and everything. Yep. And like both of those are like excellent movies.
They were. Well, that one was excellent. I saw that one.
Yeah. And yet neither of them would I look at them and be like, this guy would make a really good kung fu movie, you know? And yet here we are. I don't know what it is about Marvel. They just like, they bring out the best in people.
They,
but
they have the glow, man. I mean, they have the glow. It's like they just have it and you recognize it when you see it.
Yeah, it's crazy. But also like cool that they can say like, you know, this person made a movie which cost next to nothing, had like probably three crew members and whatever. And, you know, we're willing to give them $200 million because we see their talent, you know?
Yeah.
It's awesome. Anyway, so that is it for Marvel news, I guess, this week?
I think so, yeah. Well, they're going to do this like a Nickelodeon thing coming up pretty soon.
Oh yeah.
So they're going to have this like Avengers broadcast with the NBA, something like that. Mm-hmm. The Nickelodeon thing was super successful. When I saw it, I was like, well, this is basically what this is, but it's an ESPN and Marvel team up for an NBA telecast.
It's Golden State versus the Pelicans?
Yeah, Golden State for the Pelicans. And so during the game, a parallel story will take place in which Black Panther and Iron Man, who apparently are both alive in this, receive word of an impending threat and seek to recruit new members from the players on the court. Space Jam, basically, but make it Marvel. So yeah. the players from each team are Steph Curry, of course, Draymond Green and Andrew Wiggins of the Warriors, and Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball of the Pelicans. Each of them will be awarded Marvel Hero Points for each point, rebound, assist, block, and steal they accrue, with points taken away for missed shots, free throws, and turnovers.
Okay.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, there's that corporate synergy there. You know, Disney owns ESPN, Disney owns Marvel.
Yep. So, and the game is probably like what, the ABC feature game of the week? Likely.
Yeah, I think they said it was going to be on ESPN too. Like they'd have like a normal broadcast, kind of like they did with the Nickelodeon thing.
Interesting. Well, who's going to get it? Like, because they're not going to get like Jeff Van Gundy and Mike Breen and Mark Jackson to call it. Can you imagine like Mike Breen going bang? But like when he says bang, it's like Iron Man's like repulsor or something like that. Can you imagine?
Well, it'll be interesting to see for sure. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, speaking of other Disney-owned properties, ABC broadcast the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of people watched. I heard it was down 58% from last year.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a whole lot.
But I guess it's understandable. I mean, in talking to people, there's a lot of people who are like, well, what movies came out this year? I haven't seen any of these things. They should give it to Sonic the Hedgehog. It was the only thing that came out. I don't particularly agree with that. I mean, it's really interesting. Like, I get it, right? Because, like, you know, movie theaters aren't open. So how can you show movies? But at the same time, like, it is interesting that more movies were eligible this year than there ever have been since like 1976 or something like that.
That tells you something, doesn't it?
That's crazy. And honestly, like thinking about like my favorite movies of the year, like I think this was a better year for movies than last year was, to be honest.
Okay.
I mean, last year was great, right? But this year I think was better. So.
Okay.
I don't know. But yeah, did you watch the show?
I did watch the show.
Yeah? What did you
think? Like, from start to finish. And, like, I haven't done that in a while. Mostly, I just kind of, like, I pop in and out just for, like, the major things or the things that I, like, I want to see and have, like, I guess some sort of rooting interest in. But I watched the whole thing yesterday. And it looked like when it started, I was like, is this the Golden Globes? Like, just because, like, the setup and everything. I didn't know what to expect. from the show because like it didn't have the usual glitz and glamour that that it normally has, and obviously they weren't going to have like a full theater with thousands of people like they have in the past and like they normally do. But I was not expecting I don't know what I was expecting, but I was like, oh, so it's like the Golden Globes. Okay, like everybody's at a table and all right, cool, that's fine. And there was no like, there was no like no singing, no big presentations at the beginning or anything. It was just my homegirl Regina King walking in, which I've been a Regina King fan, for the longest time. She's in my favorite movie, so like I love everything that she does.
What's your favorite movie?
Jerry Maguire.
Okay, that's certainly up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, like it was like it didn't have a lot of the normal stuff that we see. Again, no real host for the X amount of years that now in a row that we've not had a host. So it was different, and understandably different. I'm not sure if they're going to continue with this style moving forward, and I don't know if this style is the reason why viewership was down, or one of the reasons why it was down. It could be, because some people who tune in to watch these things watch it for the spectacle of it all, but there was no spectacle this time. It was just, they just kind of got down to business.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm guessing that's not why viewership was down, but I'm also guessing that they're not going to do this again because I think people were like, what? Like, I went into the bagel place today to get a bagel, and the bagel guy was like, what did you think about that? And I'm like, I thought it was pretty cool. And he's like, it was weird. I'm like, yeah, no. And then like my boss came up to me and he's like, I watched the Oscars for the first time ever from start to finish. And it was weird. I'm like, yeah, I know, right? It's cool. So, I don't know. I enjoyed it. I mean, certainly, the fact that Steven Soderbergh produced it, and Steven Soderbergh is, my all-time fave. And I could see like various Soderbergian touches throughout where I'm like, that just makes sense that he would do that, Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking about the Soderbergh of it all very soon on a show which I've been doing with Marcelo over on Talk Film Society called Soderbergh 2828. So we'll get into the nitty gritty Soderbergh aspects of it all over there. But just like the idea where they were like, let's make it like a movie, and they really kind of did. They didn't do it. It was just like the standard like presentation that you always see, they had like the people like presenting from, the middle of the audience and mm-hmm. stuff, like that was all pretty cool.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know if I would want to see this every single year.
Okay.
Like I do like the format. I mean, they talk about how, they wanted it to be really earnest this year. And you could tell that, like, there weren't a lot of jokes or anything mm-hmm. like that. And it's kind of like, well, I missed that. I want to see some jokes,
Yeah.
And I know people are always like, the jokes aren't funny. But, I don't know. I disagree with that usually. So, I don't know. I really appreciated what they did. But I'll be glad to see it get back to normal next year if that's what happens.
Fair enough.
So, okay, as far as like the awards themselves, which were done all out of order, of course.
Oh man. We'll get to that, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. So what did you think? Anything stand out to you? Best Picture went to Nomadland. Mm-hmm. Not really a surprise, I don't think.
Wasn't a surprise there, no.
Yeah. But that wasn't the last award to be announced. The last one was Best Actor.
Yeah.
Which...
So, it seemed, right, that they were going to make this night about Chadwick Boseman,
yeah.
right? Because they were at a virtual trading card and all this other stuff, and like this, the whole digital thing that they had with his face and all that stuff. He got an extra long linger during the in memoriam section,
yeah.
Which, by the way, they forgot Jessica Walters, and they also forgot Naya Rivera, Like, but DMX was in there, and DMX died like last week. But like those two like have been like, what are we doing here, Oscars? Anyway, so it seemed like they were just like, oh, like Best Picture is going before Best Actors, so that way, you know, we can have this nice, wholesome, and earnest moment to commemorate Chadwick Boseman and his legacy and give him, you know, this and award him this Best Oscar award, right? And we give it to Anthony Hopkins.
Was not even there.
He's not there. Like, yep. It's just like that was just the extra cherry on that janky Sunday. Like what? Like yep. What? And it's not like he wasn't deserving. It's just like everything you were doing was geared towards one thing, and then it was like, nope. We're doing this instead. And it's like, so why go through the trouble of doing that? Like if that was going to be the thing, and then you have this super awkward end, right? And underneath all of that is all of the other things that go alongside with, you know, the award and who was awarded to and who was not, who did not receive it, right? Like all those things happened. Like it was just like opened up the floodgates for everything. Yeah. And it's just like, come on, y'all. Come on. Yeah. Like when Heath Ledger died, like it was just like, it was known as soon as that happened. And as soon as, you know, Dark Knight came out, they were just like, oh, well, he's getting the Oscar for, you know, like, you know, he played an iconic role. He died. He's going to get the Oscar. Right. Yeah. And then the same courtesy is not given to Chadwick Boseman. That's a little, that raises something. So, yeah.
Yeah. I heard someone was telling me that they saw something about an interview or something with one of the producers or network heads or something where they were like, yeah, you know, we took a gamble, you know, we were counting on Boseman winning and obviously that would have been the thing and it didn't pay off. But, you know,
who are they? DC?
What like, can you do? You know, hey, I guess the producers had more faith in the Academy than was warranted.
Well, see, that's the problem right there. Speaking of, like, and on the same notion, like, I love probably like the one of the highlights of the show was Lil Rel Howery and his you know, the music game that mm-hmm. he played. Because first of all, it was hilarious to see him and Daniel Kaluuya like interact like off screen, yeah. But like also like referencing Get Out, which should have won Best Picture. But like I love in the discussions for like when he was asking the questions for the songs, I love how people called out the Academy for yep. their poor choices on things. And I was just like, I love this. Like I love how Andrew Day called them out for like the fact that, you know, Purple Rain, like the highlight track of Purple Rain did not get any Oscar nominations, but the score did and the score wins. It's like, okay. And then and then of course Glenn Close, like knowing the butt, first of all, knowing the dance, second of all, third, knowing that it was part of a Spike Lee, it was a song in a Spike Lee movie, and knowing that Spike Lee is criminally underrated and he never gets his stuff recognized. Like, everybody just was calling them out for it in that whole sequence, and I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good. That was like the one time where they did that in the show, mm-hmm. right? Like, there were no other moments like that.
Nope.
That would have been cool to have a few more mm-hmm. little fun beats like that.
Agreed.
Know. Yeah. So I guess a couple of highlights here. Well, Chloe Zhao won Best Director.
Good for her.
Yeah, I mean, not unexpected once again, you know.
Yeah. You know what this means, though? It's gonna like, you know, within the next couple of weeks when we start seeing, like, you know, the ad campaigns for Eternals coming out, it's like from Academy Award winning director, Best Picture director, yep. Chloe Zhao. It's gonna be there, right? Like, what
cool,
a flex!
Right?
Like,
yeah, I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I don't know. I saw something where they're like, you know, early buzz on Eternals is that it's a masterpiece, you know.
I'll believe that when I see it, because again, like with Eternals, like Guardians, nobody knows who those characters are, and if they say yep. that they do and that they're fans, they're lying to you.
Yes, I have no idea who they are, so yes, point taken. Soul won Best Animated Feature,
as it should have.
Yeah, not a surprise, but certainly welcome. Mm-hmm. It also won Best Original Score.
Yep,
you know, the I always wonder, like, so like Nine Inch Nails did the score for Soul and they also did the score for Mank. Who do you think they voted for? I mean, they probably voted for themselves, but
yeah, I agree. Yeah. You know, but as that's range though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, those two scores don't sound anything alike. No, and neither of them sound like Nine Inch Nails, you know?
Not at all. So yeah. Good for them. Mank, best cinematography, yeah. Which I kind of, that was expected.
Yeah, I think. Know, I mean, the black and white.
Exactly.
And I mean, it looks really nice. I agree on that. I mean, one which I was probably most excited about, best original screenplay, Promising Young Woman, Emerald Fennell. The writer of the new Zatanna movie, so that's pretty cool. I was hoping that movie would win more stuff, but I wasn't expecting it to. And disappointed that One Night in Miami didn't win adapted screenplay, but not
same.
Not surprised. I'm surprised Nomadland didn't win, but went to The Father, which was certainly a good screenplay. Sound of Metal won best editing and best sound. That's certainly well deserved.
Yep.
Best visual effects, such a weird category when, like, I mean, just weird movies since there weren't any big blockbusters this year.
Yeah.
But I guess Tenet was kind of the shoe in there.
Yeah, I was like, when I saw like all the other movies, I was like, they don't think they're gonna win, right? Like not up against Tenet.
Although remember a few years back when Force Awakens came out and it lost to Ex Machina?
Yeah.
That's weird.
That is weird.
But I think that's also like, you know, oh, we like this movie. You know what I mean? Like like with The Matrix won best visual effects over Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
And I mean, say what you want.
That's the Academy giving a middle finger to George because they don't like him.
Yeah. That's you know, Phantom Menace had some revolutionary, I mean, so did Matrix.
So did The Matrix.
Yeah. But like that year, and that also just kind of like showed, I remember, you know, like Matrix wasn't nominated for Best Picture or anything like that.
Should have been
for sure. Although that year was stacked. I mean, it was certainly more deserving than a lot of the stuff that was nominated, but that's
my argument every single year.
But that is straight up the best year in movie history. You know, I'll fight you on this one. But
oh no, I don't disagree with you on that.
Yeah. I mean, it's an amazing year for movies, but Matrix nominated for like all the technical awards and it won every single award it was nominated for, you know, and it's like the Academy saying like, this is really our favorite. Like we have to say American Beauty is our favorite, but we all know that The Matrix is the best.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, same thing happened to Mad Max Fury Road where it just like won everything except for Best Picture.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. But not so crazy when you know that, you know, it's the people making the decisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
The janky Academy.
Yeah. And then, you know, best supporting actor, Daniel Kaluuya, who kind of stole the show with his Oscar speech. And
that was unexpected.
Yeah, it was hilarious. And just cutting to his mom.
Right to his mom.
His sister, I think. And his sister's just like, oh my God. And his mom.
Yep.
My wife, who has African parents, she's like, you see that? That's an African mom right there.
That's right.
Yep. Oh, that was great. I saw like a thing afterwards where they asked him about it. Like, what did she say? You know, did you talk to her? And he's like, well, I'm staying away from my phone right now, but she has a sense of humor. She'll be fine with it. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, certainly well deserved for Judas and the Black Messiah, and and then see, she complained about everybody mispronouncing her names. Now I'm going to do it. Yoo Jung Yoon for Minari, which that was also a great role, you know, as the grandma and that thing. So that's that, and then of course, best actor. Anthony Hopkins.
He was
really good in that movie, I have to
say.
Yeah,
well, that's a given, like, right? Like, we know Anthony Hopkins is great. We know he has chops, right? Yeah. So, but it's like, that whole thing is just, something's a little weird there.
Yeah. And then Best Actress, Frances McDormand. That's pretty much it. I rewatched all of the Oscar movies over the past 2 weeks. I mean, all the Best Picture nominees. And I did enjoy them all. I have to say, I think Nomadland is probably my least favorite of all of them. Okay. And Promising Young Woman this time really
still your favorite
rose to the top. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt now that that's, that should have won Best Picture. But
yeah.
Oh, well. So on to next year. We're already into Oscar season 2021. You know, they dropped a trailer for West Side Story, which is going to be...
Bruh.
Yeah.
I am hype about that. Because, like, when I've heard that they were going to do a new West Side Story, I was like, don't you screw this up. Because I love West Side Story. Mm-hmm. I love West Side Story. And I am, like, a huge, like, Bernstein stan. Like, if I, you know, so I love all of his, I love his interpretations. Like, I watch his recordings. I've watched his documentaries. Like, you know, I've read his books. I'm a Bernstein guy. So when I heard they're going to do it, I was like, don't you mess this up. And then I see the trailer. I was just like, ah, snap, here we go. And then, like, a little bit later on in the show, you get another look at In the Heights. I was like, oh man, it's going to be two musicals duking it out for Best Picture. Like, I like this. I like this a lot, because that, like, so far that looks, both of them look fantastic, and I can't wait for them.
Yeah. I don't know if you ever, like, heard of this guy. His name is Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
He's pretty good at making movies.
He's pretty good. Pretty good. He's real good.
Yeah, yeah, he might win an Oscar one day. You never know.
But no, but for real though, I'm hyped for West Side Story. I'm obsessed with that musical. It's one of my all time favorites. So, yeah.
Yeah, I need to rewatch the original. I saw it once years and years ago, and I wasn't really impressed with it at the time. But that was one where, like, before the pandemic, mm-hmm. I had, like, a pass to a 70mm film festival, and one of the movies they were showing was West Side Story. And I got to go to two movies at the festival before the world imploded, mm-hmm. and I missed out on West Side Story.
Oh,
so,
man. It's, yeah. I've loved this musical since I was a kid. So, like, when you're, you know, like, when you're at an age, like, when you're probably not supposed to be, like, you know, into musicals, like, mm-hmm. I'm into musicals, but, like, that's how long I go back with West Side Story. So,
I've seen it live.
I've seen it with, like, an orchestra playing the score. I've played the brass quintet. I'm, like, all about this one. So,
let's go. That's cool. Yeah, I'm excited. There is a piece of Marvel news that we didn't mention up at the top.
Uh-oh.
They announced the directing team of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 2.
Oh, yeah, they sure did.
And one of the directors is Kemp Powers, the uh-huh. co-director of Soul.
Yep.
Are you kidding me? It's going to be great.
Yep.
It could be the best movie ever made. You never know.
Likely, at this rate. Especially when you look at, like, its predecessor, like,
yeah, it's the other directors. One guy is a production designer who's worked with Lord and Miller for years. He was, like, a production designer on Into the Spider-Verse, and the other guy is a directing veteran who worked on Avatar: The Last Airbender. And
the TV show?
Yes. And
okay, good. Whew, I was about to say.
and Justice League Unlimited. So,
oh man, those are two heavy hitters right off the bat right there.
Yeah. So I think this one's in good hands. So,
yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know. I can't think of any other news this week. I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah. One we did miss, I think, last time. Did we talk about the F9 trailer?
Oh no, he didn't. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes. Every time.
They just
like
keep
talk
on...
about people who have the secret sauce. They have the secret sauce.
Yeah. I you know, I mean, like, I saw the first one and I was like, that was good. And I saw the second one, I'm like, that was better. Mm-hmm. I saw the third and fourth ones, I'm like, that those weren't good. Yep. And I saw the fifth one and I'm like, that was enjoyable. And then they had the credit cookie. And yep. I'm like, oh my God. I remember coming out of the theater and telling my friend, I'm like, you'll never believe what happened. I don't even care about these movies.
Yep.
And I can't wait.
Yep, that's the thing. Like, it is not something that it's like, you know, a key portion of my fandom, but like legit, like, yeah. I will always be down for these movies.
Yeah, you never know what they're going to do. And like, I just because my dream was to show one of these movies a week to my wife, mm-hmm. until the new one comes out.
Okay.
And she's like, I don't know why you would think I would have any interest in these. And I'm like, because look at this trailer. Look at what they do, you know? And I showed her the first movie and she's like, why would you think that I would like that? And I'm like, she's like, why do you like that? And I'm like, I don't really, but
yep.
Watch the trailer for the new one. We just watched the thing here. Can you imagine? Yep. They're like, they're driving Honda Civics. We own a Honda Civic. Okay. That's the level that they're at now. And here they are on like a rocket ship.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, amazing.
With magnets all over the place.
It's amazing. Oh,
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And
opening weekend.
Oh, yeah. For sure. For sure. No doubt. Yeah, I don't think that, were there any other trailers? Probably not, right? It's probably going to be I'm trying to think if, no, like, I don't think there's any other trailers which were noteworthy that came out.
Yeah.
No. You usually get a bunch of them with the Oscars, but this year is just West Side Story. That was disappointing.
Oh, I know. Also, Rita Moreno does not age, by the way.
Yeah. There's a new documentary about her coming out.
Oh, really?
Soon. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll check that out.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, I guess that's pretty much it for this week.
Mm-hmm.
Lance, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me at Sir Lance Laster on all of my social medias. And you can also find me on the United Federation of Podcasts, talking about all the things that make Arrow, Arrow, on Always Hold On to Arrow. And you can find us on Twitter at Do Not Fail Our Pod.
And you can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Mumbles3K. And you can also find me on my website, filmdamagepod.com, doing a show called Film Damage. And you can find me over on talkfilmsociety.com in the not-too-distant future, talking more about the Oscars and Steven Soderbergh's involvement in them with Marcello on Soderbergh 2828. Okay. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.